Always grateful for an opportunity to come before you and share a little bit from the Word of God. We're going to continue in our theme of attaining, and this week's focus is on a mature man, with today's title lesson, Becoming a Mature Christian. And I think it's, I don't know if Jeff is trying to sabotage me or not, but every time it's my turn to come up here, I'm usually in a lesson that I'm actually learning from and not necessarily one I've mastered. I'll tell you that self-reporting, okay? Because as I'm studying this, I'm like, I'm not very mature at all. But it also is a helpful lesson I hope that that you'll get benefit from, that I also realized as well as in studying it. Thank all the brethren for the roles leading up to the lesson, because everyone was saying something relative to what we'll be talking about in this topic. And I might even point it out from here at different points. So thank you all for everything that was done up to this point to get us to start off in our reading. I think the first thing that we have to unpack as it relates to this spiritual maturity is defining what it is and what it isn't. Especially in today's society, we've got a lot of people that, well, they're grown-ups, they're old enough, right, to be grown-ups. And my mom had an expression, she would say, oh, so you think you're grown, huh? She said kind of like that. And there was a time in my life where I thought, yeah, I made some decisions that really made me think I was grown. And so I tried to reflect on that a little bit and share a little bit of what is happening in the world today, where we see what seemingly are adults, but they're not grown. They're not grown and they're not growing spiritually by what is defined as spiritual maturity. But I think it's important to unpack that, because these are also people that we might look to for advice, for their knowledge. So, first and foremost, suppression as strength. Let's look at what spiritual maturity is not. Suppression as strength, making the avoidance or bottling up of emotions. And this is something I learned, Stoicism. This is more of a challenge for us brethren, meaning males. We can sometimes be a little stoic and suppress our emotions and believe that that is a trait of spiritual maturity. But God doesn't call us to abandon emotions. Control them, but not abandon them. And that's something I've had to really unpack a little bit in my life, in my development. Surface level adulthood. Now, some of us will confuse the trappings of adulthood, like having a high-paying job or living alone. I know that's how I felt. When I got on my own, I was like, I'm grown. There's nothing you can, I got my own business, my own roof overhead, I'm grown. It's a huge influencer to maturity, but it is not spiritual maturity defined. Or buying one's own home. Conflict avoidance. Believing that avoiding disagreements or saying, well, whatever, and not being impacted or affected by anything makes one mature, when it is actually avoiding responsibility. Another one that also often fools us into believing we're grown is the busy trap. This is where we're using a packed schedule or acting stressed and important to signal that one is too productive for petty things. And so We use this a lot at work sometimes. We're very busy. I'm too busy for the petty things that happens around me, or immature behavior. But again, it's to be noted that this is not spiritual maturity defined. Perfectionism as control. I've seen this play out. This is using rigid rules, controlling behavior, or maintaining an artificial sort of perfect life persona. Masking an inability to handle vulnerability or failure. Those who master this perfectionism as control believe falsely that they're spiritually mature. Oh, and this is a good one. Pseudo-intellectualism. My tongue can get untied there. Pseudo-intellectualism. You know, we see this play out a lot in the media today. Those folks who get on the news, and they've been to school, don't you know? And so they're telling you about all their degrees and their accolades. So they feel like they are the arbiter of truth. And they're well-spoken. They're engaged in intellectual debates to feel intellectually superior rather than to learn or connect. Those with pseudo-intellectualism. For those who can master that, and whenever you hear it, just understand that is not spiritual maturity defined. And then lastly, selective responsibility. That's taking responsibility for big public tasks while failing at the smaller ones. For smaller things in daily life and management. I don't know, like keeping your house clean. Or managing your finances. Again, selective responsibility is not spiritual maturity. So then what is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is intentional growth in Christ-likeness. Particularly like when I heard Cesar mention in the facilitating the Lord's Supper today, he says, keeping Christ at the forefront of our minds. Keeping Christ at the forefront of our minds. It's the first mark that you are aspiring to or striving toward spiritual maturity. Let's look at Galatians 3 and verse 20. You know, spiritual maturity, it involves a mindset, a character, unity, and perseverance. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20 reads, now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Did I write it in wrong? I wrote it in wrong here, didn't I? 220. Yep, I sure do. Is it right on the slide? No, of course not. Let's see what we got. Yeah, sorry about that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ living in me. So spiritual maturity is defined again by having Christ at the forefront. Christ is our bar. Not our parents, God bless them, but not all parents are Christians. Not our friends, God bless them too, but not all of our friends are Christians. Christ is the standard for acquiring and achieving spiritual maturity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So then, Christ living in me, what does that look like? What does that look like? Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's the difference between godly virtues and virtue signaling. We've heard that before, haven't we? A lot of folks are virtue signaling today. Again, having the persona or as I think we read earlier, the perfectionism as control. They show these artificial perfect life masking and an inability to handle vulnerability or failure. Or they condescend to you, right, because of their perception that they're trying to portray to you. Well, either you have this fruit or you don't. And again, I always emphasize this. This isn't fruit plural. It's all encompassing. This is but the fruit of the Spirit, singular, encompasses all of these things. That is what spiritual maturity is. The Bible calls us, we're called to grow up in our thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look at verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. You know, this is one of those scriptures, I'm reading it, and I say, wait, what? You just told me not to be children, but then to be an infant. Make that make sense. We are called to grow up in our thinking, to be innocent and evil, and be mature in understanding and developing discernment and spiritual depth. Don't be children in your thinking, but be innocent and evil. You know, we're going to have to, even with all that you know, and everybody has different levels of spiritual maturity, everybody has different levels of physical, like in your body, maturity, things that you've seen and experienced and that have made you who you are today. But if you're going to aspire for spiritual maturity, you're going to have to allow yourself, permit yourself, give yourself permission not to be so street smart. Now, this is something that people are most, they boast their awareness of street smart. What does that mean? That means the streets have got you your intellect. Worse yet is those same type of people are looking down their nose at those folks who are aspiring for spiritual maturity. They will look down their nose at you and think you're just a little naive, don't you know? And downplay the importance of growing and maturing spiritually while propping up and boasting in their street smart. And it's an important thing to untether yourself from when you're evolving and you're growing and you decide to put on Christ in your life. When you put on Christ in your life, boasting about what you've learned in the streets is not going to help you mature spiritually. Amen? Willing to know that knowledge that you acquired in the street is also what kept you in the street. God calls us to spiritual maturity, and he calls us to be innocent of evil. It's all right that you don't know the effects of drugs on your body. It's all right that you don't know how to hold your liquor. It is all right that you don't know what it means to disrespect your parents. It's all right that you don't hang out with the crowd and learn how to club hop. You see, because the world would make you think you're going to sow your wild oats and get your knowledge this way. The Bible thinks differently. We are called to grow up in our thinking, be innocent in evil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You know one way that this happens? Those folks who have a thirst for worldly knowledge. I'm talking about yours who get not only their associate's degree, they go back, they get their bachelor's degree. They go back, they get their doctor's degree. They go back and they just keep going to school, learning all that they can. And they come, and they've got this book knowledge, if you will. And so they get up there. We're talking about our pseudo-intellectualisms with all of their book knowledge and fancy words. The Bible teaches us they are then caught up, that we need to be careful, that we're not caught up by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning. You think because you don't know those fancy words that you're not spiritually mature? That's not what the Bible teaches us. Spiritual maturity tells us not to be gullible children tossed to and fro by human cunning and the craftiness of man's words and false teachings. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 6. Yet among the mature, what's happening with those? Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age. Oh, so the street smart's not going to help me? No, not if you want to have spiritual maturity. In fact, I dare say it'll make it harder for you to attain it. The Bible says here, it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. Oh, wait a minute now, that's different. It's not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Now, the folks ruling should ought to have all the smarts, shouldn't they? Amen? No? We wish they would, but we know they don't. We have seen people in government. I'm talking about our rulers, right? People in government, some of the stupidest people you've ever met in your life or didn't meet. It is like, you hear them talking. And you're like, wait, what? It almost makes your head hurt. The word salad. You know, and all of the ways the human cunning that comes out of their mouth. And they're getting paid more than I do. You ever say that to yourself? How'd they get a job? Make it make sense. Getting paid more than I do to talk such foolishness. And want you to believe it. That is what we've got to be careful about. Both in following and believing that they have the knowledge. They are mature. The Bible tells us that though it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God. Imagine sitting here in these pews, within these four walls, and you've opened your Bible to have an insight into the will of God, that puts you on another level. And it's high time as Christians we embrace what that level is. That's a spiritual maturity level that exceeds our understanding, even ours. And it definitely is a level up to government and anybody else who's sitting up there with all their fancy words. The Spirit of God bridges the things of God and the human heart so that we could open the Bible. We could open something as thick as this, as complex as this, and have an understanding. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. No, they didn't, because if they did, they wouldn't have killed Christ. Amen? Amen. Rulers today are killing a lot of people that are spiritually mature because they don't want to hear it. It judges them. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. We have to keep our love for the Lord so that we can grow up in our thinking and acquire that spiritual maturity that God has called us to. Now, how can we know that we are spiritually mature? I'm going to watch my time because I get to preach tonight, so I don't have to put it all in one, my wife said. So when she starts doing this, when I know she knows what time it is, she's probably telling me to know what time it is. So I'm not going to keep you long. Question is, how can we know when we're being spiritual grown-ups? Don't you ever ask yourself that question? Or do you ask yourself, when am I going to be a spiritual grown-up? When am I going to stop tripping over the, you know what I mean, the worldly immaturity that is keeping me from being, you know, keeping God from being proud of me as dad, right? As my Father in heaven. That's who we need to make proud of us, right? How can we know when our thinking matures spiritually? We will be able to discern truth from error. Now, you know, that right there will distinguish you from a lot of people in this world. That right there will distinguish you from a lot of people in this world, and I'm talking distinguish you up, level you up. Because literally today, they are trying to convince us. I'm talking those, when I say they, I'm talking about people who will get into social positions to be orators of and or believe that they are arbitrators of truth. They will actually articulate a lie and want you to believe it. And because of the way it sounds, because of who they are and all of their pedigree and this, that, and the third, and they come and they speak so that any more today, they will convince you that cisgender is a word. They will convince you. I cannot even believe some of the stuff they're trying to convince us of today. They will convince you, and some people do are convinced, they really are. They will convince you that you don't know what a woman is. They will convince you that you don't know. They're trying to convince you that a man can be pregnant. It sounds ridiculous, but that is the level of lies that is coming into this world today. We are in a spiritual war that requires spiritual maturity to fight it and fight against it. It's indoctrination and in our mindset. It's everywhere. It's in our schools. It's at work. It's on your television. There are things going on right now, just in earshot, that make me in my 58 years of life feel like, what? I've actually had to say, well, back in my day, I ain't had no days yet. I'm only 58. JR, don't laugh at me, JR. That's not your moment. You know what I'm saying? What's happening? And they're just going too fast. They're doing too much in the wrong direction. But that's what happens when you prop up this street smart or your scholastic achievements because you went through social indoctrination in our schools today at the University of Ivy League, such and such and such. Maybe you should have went to community college because they made you crazy. Pause. You did too much. John chapter 17. Verses 15 through 17. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Who's speaking here? Jesus. But that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Listen, Jesus knew when telling you to take on him that it wasn't going to be in lieu of your worldly experience. You would still have to take on him and navigate yourself through all of this noise, all of these things that are happening in the world today. But he's asking, and no, he's commanding us to come through it sanctified, separate, to have a moral clarity, a relationship with God that is spiritually mature, even in the world that you live in today. So, well, I can't do that. How can I do that? You know, there's so much going on in the world. In fact, they'll even go further. They say, you know what? No. And they just end it all. They said, you know what? If there was a God, why would he allow this? So I don't even, they just abandon a believing God. It's too much of a heavy lift. It's too much of a heavy lift to adopt that spiritual maturity. So then, you know, you're going to learn something. Because as long as you're using your mind, you're going to learn something. And as humans, it's been our track record to be influenced. I appreciate how strong and sturdy you believe you are psychologically. But when I look at the engagement of humanity with God, Adam and Eve, amen. Are you better than Adam and Eve? Are you? You better than all the children of Israel and all the different personalities of those people during those times when they were interacting with God? And you know, sanctified in truth is a moral and relational lifelong process. It's not enough to know a few scriptures. It's not enough to have godly parents. I'll go further. It's not enough to have godly parents that go to the Church of Christ every Sunday and Wednesday. You've got to go to the Church of Christ every Sunday and every Wednesday. You've got to make your calling and election sure. You've got to be indoctrinated and put on Christ. You've got to grow up. Your parents can't grow you up for you. Sanctified in truth is a moral and relational lifelong process that'll make you show up differently in your spiritual maturity. You will be able to respond and not react. We see a lot of reactionary attitudes and behaviors today in this world, do we not? Amen? Again, back in my day, road rage. When I was learning how to drive, that was not a thing. It was not a thing. That's as new as my 58 years of life. Road rage. People reacting and overreacting and not responding. Thinking biblically is not emotionally. Well, you hurt my feelings. If I hear that one more time. You hurt my feelings. I have a right to feel. No, you don't. You have a right to regulate feelings. You're going to have your feelings. I got feelings. But if, you know, that's I'm done. This is the last point. You know, they have this thing, bring your authentic self to work. No, don't do that. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to see it. I've seen some authenticity in people. You can keep that at home. Come here with a suit and tie or something. Anything that makes you see straight. Because But again, that was a lie that the world was saying needs to come before, okay, that emotional response needed to come before thinking. Seeking wisdom over impulse is another way you'll know that you have reached a level of spiritual maturity. And you know, when these things show up in your behavior, people want to know, who are you? You'll show up differently. They'll want to navigate to you and say, I need your opinion on something. What would you want my opinion for? I'm just a person. I'm just what? You, as Christians, I know this has happened to you. You've got people coming to you seeking the salt because they don't know what to do. And I like your opinion because why? Why? Because they've heard you talk. They see you walk. Your life is not full of chaos. You're not overreacting. You're thinking. Emotions don't drive you. You are the embodiment of make it make sense. And they're like, can I talk to you? When that happens, that's your chance. That's your opportunity right there. Testify for what putting on Christ looks like in your life and help them. Know that there's a better way to live. A spiritually mature way to live. You know, you can do that. Interesting, we talked about this in Bible class. You can do that without beating them over the head with a Bible. They're already impressed by your living it. Keep living it. The world needs it today. The world needs, we need spiritual maturity. Because this world, we're fighting a battle. And if we aren't willing to invest the time and effort that the world is investing in, just to be catchy with terms, a stupid maturity, and do this for spiritual maturity, if we're not willing to do that, then I don't know what, there will be no hope in the world. Because stupid is a good commodity today. If I just abandon, you know, I don't know, but they make a lot of money. All right, we're going to stop there. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk about aiming for restoration. And we'll talk about presenting everyone mature in Christ and what that looks like when we put our spiritual maturity in action and how that can change our mindset, that can change and influence others. I hope this lesson encourages you to continue to grow spiritually. It's not an option. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. It's not enough to be the Christian you were when you got baptized. It's not enough just to believe in God. We've got to add to that a level of spiritual maturity, especially for a world that is coming for your intellect and trying to convince you that your spiritual maturity aspirations are worthless and you don't need those here. They've even termed it as hate speech. But you've got to hold on to it. And you've got to want it. You've got to want it. And wanting it looks like studying your Bible to acquire it, not just what you can do here in these four walls. I hope this lesson was an encouragement to you. It certainly was to me to study, and we'll continue to study some more about it. Certainly, if you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come. But together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.